Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I thank you for joining me as we continue a message we began yesterday about Israel's defeat in the Promised Land. And we know that God has given us His Word so that we can learn from the examples that are given in there. And as we were looking at the reasons that Achan was who caused Israel to sin, taking of the accursed thing, that he affected the entire community of Israelites. And today we find that in the church world, how can we apply it today, that if we're willing to blend or mix in or take just a little portion of the world's values and systems and morals, we are defiling the congregation of the Lord. There are multitudes of precious people today that sit in church pews across America and around the world that are powerless and loveless, and they need answers but find none. And those who minister in pulpits perhaps are just preaching a social message, telling the people all the problems and not giving them the true answer that will enable them to follow through with their good intentions and resolve. Achan's sin was a secret, a private sin. No one knew about it. There didn't seem to be any outward and obvious connection between Achan's sin and the 36 bodies which lay outside the gates of Ai, but they were intimately connected. Do you remember when they took just a few thousand men to go against Ai? 36 Israelites were killed. They were defeated. They were routed. And sometimes there doesn't seem to be any connection with the way a percentage of the church world has a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. The people are sick. They refer them to a doctor. Not that there's anything wrong with going to a doctor, but they don't hold on to the full gospel. When there are emotional problems, they hire a staff of psychiatrists. When someone in the congregation has a heavenly visitation and begins to experience the power of God in their lives, they're warned not to go off the deep end, or could be referred to as troublemakers or fanatics. And is there any wonder there's a cry rising up from the earth, from the people of God? Is their lot in life to be a life of defeat and subjection to the devil? No, beloved, 1,000 times no. Achan said he saw a beautiful Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, that he coveted them and took them. One day, somewhere along the line, a portion of the church world stood and beheld Babylon and said, "Oh, I'll only take one garment. We only need their silver and their gold and their ability for a while. We won't let anyone know. We'll hire our fundraisers and we'll build our great cathedrals like the world. We'll build our multi-million dollar churches and office buildings." But, beloved, Achan's sin involved others. He sinned not only against God and others, but against his own family and nation. And if we refuse to obey God, even in our personal lives, we do not stand before God to be judged alone, because sometimes what we do will affect our whole spiritual or natural family. To many, it could mean death. To many, it could mean living a life of defeat. Beloved, it's very simple. If we obey God, if we stay strong, if we continue to pay the price spiritually and in every other way, we will see God give us the increase. If we obey God, God blesses obedience, and He punishes disobedience. And we can bring life and blessings to thousands upon countless thousands with the good news. Then we see, you know, the devil just never stops. In the 9th chapter, we find the enemy playing or working a very slick trick. The Gibeonites were not sure that they could defeat Israel on the battlefield, so they decided to adopt a strategy of deception. The Gibeonites, who also were called Hivites, came to Israel with a story that seemed so plausible, in such an attitude of reverence to Jehovah, their outward appearance so consistent with what they were saying, the children of Israel didn't think it was necessary to consult God about the situation. That was a mistake. Many a church has been deluded into thinking a certain pastor or a certain plan of operations or a certain affiliations could be just the thing for them, but they didn't bother to wait on God and get His answer. And that's true for us as individuals. Have you ever gone ahead with something because, well, it sounded good, it seemed to be good, but you really didn't pray about it? And as a result, there may have been some consequences that you hadn't anticipated or desired. What the Word of God says is the children of Israel ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They trusted themselves instead of trusting God. They counted on their own good judgment instead of asking God for what they should do. You see, they had come into the Promised Land in a rather dramatic way. That was an amazing victory that they had at Jericho. They were, it was the power of God. They did, as far as battle strategy, it was really quite remarkable, as well as even foolish, just marching around a city for 7 days, and then the last day seven times around it, and then they shouted when the priest sounded the horns, and then the walls, which are very thick, fell down, and they took the city. It was devoted to the Lord. And so, beloved, what can we learn from this, from their experiences at Ai? Not the sin of presumption, not to take part in anything that is attractive as far as the world is concerned. God wants, God is holy, and we shall also be holy. Listen, beloved, the devil lays snares, and he will do everything he can to get you disgruntled and unhappy. He'll tell you in very plausible terms that, you know, the work is just too hard, the load's too heavy, the goal's too great, and it will just sound plausible. The only problem is if God said to do it, and if we started out with God running this thing, we can't stop in the middle of the battle and start doing it our own way. God brought them out of Egypt. They should not have forgotten that. They wandered 40 years in the wilderness, this new generation. Still, they were very aware of what God had done in behalf of the nation, freeing them from 400 years of Egyptian bondage and slavery. And so, beloved, we should learn from those examples, and we should not be willing to compromise. We have to remember that our strength comes from the Lord, our wisdom comes from the Lord. If we lack wisdom, we can ask of God, James said, who gives liberally to all men and upbraideth not. Ephesians 6 and 10 says, last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. Verse 11 says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand safe against all strategies and tricks of Satan. Verse 12 says, for we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but instead we're working it. It's not flesh and blood that we're fighting against, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. So use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy whenever he attacks. And when it's all over, you will still be standing up. So we have been given specific promises from God. And these promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And we're all children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we who have been baptized into union with Christ are covered, are strengthened, are a part of Him. We are His body. He is the head. We're no longer Jews or Greeks or slaves or free men or merely men and women, we're all the same. We're all Christians. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And now that we are Christ, we are the true descendants of Abraham, and all of God's promises to him belong to us, Jew and Greek alike, Jew and Gentile. We are one in Christ. And in Hebrews, let me read a verse from Hebrews, the sixth chapter, and I'd like to read verses 17 through 20. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have, hallelujah, as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, God, that we can learn from our own life experiences. We can learn from the examples given in the Word of God. Keep us from presumption. Keep us from being ensnared by the deceptions of the enemy. Help us to seek your face and to walk in wisdom. Help us to know what the will of the Lord is in any matter. Let us be willing to wait upon you, not rush ahead, but wait until we have a clear understanding, a clear witness of what you would have us to do, to go ahead, to not go ahead, to stand still. Whatever it is, Father, we lose that wisdom so that we will not experience defeat in our promised land. And we thank you, God, for your mercy and your faithfulness to us and your willingness to lead us in the right way. You will lead us in a straight path, Lord, your word says, because of our enemies. Amen and amen. Well, beloved, thank you for joining me. It's been a blessing to minister to you this week. I thank you for your prayers and know that I'm praying for you. The announcer will give our contact information. Till next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.